Right, I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. And I'll read to you a few verses from verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with red swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Tonight my subject is Judas's betrayal of Christ. Judas's betrayal of Christ. And we find the account of this incident in the chapters of 26 and 27 of Matthew Gospel. And all the other Gospels also recorded this incident. And interestingly, it's the same account that we have the account of Peter's denial of Christ. So next time I have time to come here, I will also consider Peter's denial of Christ. And both of them have lessons to teach us. But the conduct of Judas and Peter at the final period, leading to the suffering and the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, is well known to every Bible reader. It's something which is an account that is very common. I mean, I think it's one of the most popular accounts in the Gospels. I mean, Judas' betrayal and that of Peter's denial. It's something that people even who are not serious in the Bible, at least they have heard it and they are easily for them to remember. But you know, both of them, as we know, were among the 12 apostles chosen by the Lord. Judas was an apostle, Peter was also an apostle. But the one remarkable thing about them is their sins that were recorded at this time of Jesus' life. We read many things about Peter, did many things, and that of Judas, but one thing that stands in their name, think of Judas's betrayal and that of Peter's denial of Christ. So tonight, as I said, we begin with that of Judas's and his betrayal of Christ. And it's something that is very interesting to consider. As I said, both Judas was an apostle. He was with them, going and coming. And even he was the treasurer of the disciples. He was keeping their money, and he was if they will buy anything, they will come to him, and he will. And when there's any gain for them, he will keep it. And all that, and all along, he was hatching his own plan. But my purpose is also to speak about the fact that some people think that Judas was somehow a true Christian. He was a true believer. People think that Judas was a true believer. Is it true or not? That's the question we sometimes ask. People put up cases in the accounts which show that Peter was Judas was a true believer. But is it true that he was a genuine believer? It's a question we ask of ourselves. Some even said that the sin of Judas is like any sin that beset believers. Believers also sometimes fall into sin, and they confess and repent and that. So Judas' sin is similar to that. Some even go on further to say that Judas was only accomplishing God's determined plan concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody will say, if Judas had not betrayed Jesus, how would he have died? And all that. So they go far to say that it was part of God's plan. It is true, it was part of God's plan. But is it that Judas is free from his sin, and that whatever Judas does, God will overlook or not? But you know, if you look at the whole history of Judas' life, before and after his betrayal, it proved that it was otherwise, that he was not a genuine believer. He was not a genuine believer. So, what makes him not a genuine believer? That's what somebody will ask. And the first thing is that the cause of his betrayal, and that's the reason why he wasn't a genuine believer, and that's what the Bible also showed to us. The first thing that his hypocrisy, the first thing of that led him to his betrayal was his hypocrisy. And that's the beginning when he became a disciple and also an apostle of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself proved that Judas was not a genuine believer. He proved it several times. In John chapter 6, verse 64, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Those that believe not, though they were followers of Christ, he said that among them he knew one who betrayed him. So he said that there were others, some whom Jesus knew from the beginning, those who were following him as his disciples, his followers, some who were not believers, true genuine believers, as he says. And he said that among them, and he knows the one who should betray him. And we know that Judas is referring to here. So Jesus Christ himself proved that Judas was not a genuine believer in him. Though the Lord chose Judas among his apostles, yet he knew Judas had no genuine faith in him. He knew that Judas' heart is not right with him and that he was a hypocrite. Judas' faith was like many hypocrite followers of Jesus. They followed him physically, but their hearts, their minds are far away from him. They did not give up their old life. They did not give up. They did not repent. And yet, they claim to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And such is the case of many temporal and dead believers in Christ. It is interesting. There are many, many who claim to be Christians. But if you test and weigh them with scriptural evidence, how Christians are and how Christians must do, you see that their faith might be called temporal faith or dead believers. Yes, they claim the name of Christ and they follow him, but they are dead to spiritual life. Because spiritual life is a heart life, a life that is within, though the fruit show, but it's a heart life, a life that the fear of God is concerned in the heart. They are seen only to be Christian only outwardly, but they have no living and a permanent faith in him. On the outside, they claim to have so much faith in Christ, but they don't continue so-called faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord sees through all their hypocrisies. You and I may not see who and who is a hypocrite, but the Lord sees all. Because the verse in John chapter 64 tells us, said that there are some of you that believe not. Yes, they thought they were following Jesus Christ, but he said they believe not. And he knew from the beginning who were that believe not and who should betray him. And yet all these were following him. Judas was part of these unbelievers who were following the Lord Jesus Christ. Other descriptions of the Lord that he gave to Judas, we have in the same John chapter 6, 70 to 71. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simeon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. At this time, he has not betrayed him. He was still part of them. But Jesus Christ always points out to him that he was not a genuine person. "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? One of you is unconverted. One of you is not really a genuine believer." And it was added that for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12, being one of the key people of Christ. And yet he was walking with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knew. It's interesting. I don't know how Judas was feeling when Jesus would be saying all these things. He didn't mention his name, but in his heart he knew that it was himself. And yet he didn't care. He was still following Christ. The heart of man is indeed desperately wicked. But the Bible says, who can know it? And we can really deceive ourselves sometimes. In Jesus' prayer, we call it his prayer for his people in John 17, 12, he said that, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, by the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. At this time, Judas has not betrayed him. The son of perdition. You know that he has kept, meaning, yes, physically he has kept them, and their salvation too is cured. But as the what? By the son of what? Perdition, the son of condemnation, the son of damnation. How can he call him so? Because he knew that he was praying for his people. But he singled Judas out. He didn't pray for Judas. He was the son of perdition. But what? That the scripture might be fulfilled. So some who think that Judas did the plan of God. It was part of the plan of God that somebody should betray him. And Judas was thinking that because he had that heart, that he will not change. So he sinned. Yet, you know, as God can use every situation to accomplish his purpose. Even when Pharaoh was punished, God said that he manifested his power over him. His stubbornness manifested his power. Through that, he was able to manifest power to show his power. So Judas here, we are told that the son of perdition, and Jesus Christ was praying for the disciples. So here, he was praying for them, but not for Judas, because Judas was out. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition. And let's read John chapter 13 also together. I think that one. And you see how Jesus Christ describes him here also. John 13, 4 to 11. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was gathered. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet alone, my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And it is added, For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. What is it? Clean. Pure. Ye are clean from your sin. You are clean. You are people that God has separated for himself. Holy, I mean, chosen people. So ye are clean, but not all. So you see, all around, just right, to be singling out Judas and showing that he is not really a true believer in him. He's not truly a child of God. Elsewhere, called the son of perdition. Elsewhere, he said that I've chosen you and he is the devil. And elsewhere, he said that he knew who should betray him, because in the beginning he knew that some did not believe in him. And in chapter 17, 12 of John, we are told that it said that none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Here, he tells us that what? He is not clean. He is not washed from his sin. He is somebody who is not a genuine believer. So before we move on, let us remember that we should never be surprised of some who claim to love Christ, and yet they are not genuine believers. Some may claim so much love to Christ. They could be our family members. They could be our colleagues at the workplace. They could be our former friends and all that. But then they might, or they could be those that could be our church members or friends, which we see them. But then they may prove as not having genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Since among the apostles, there was an apostate. Among the disciples of Christ, there was an apostate. How much more we? If the Lord Jesus Christ himself, among his disciples, he allowed that there should be one who should be in that state. So, we should be careful when people claim to be Christians. We should see who they are and what they stand for. And sometimes they can even fake it out. Even the gift or the fruit of the Spirit can be fake out, so that you might not even see, in a normal sense, but that is what we have to do. In 2 Timothy 2:19, we are told that the Lord knoweth them that are his. We may not know people who are genuine, but the Lord knows them that are his. For the foundation of God standeth sure, as the word tells us. And also, you know, the Bible tells us Satan himself has become an like an angel of light, so that even who Satan is, he comes in deceptive way. We can't see him as sometimes who he is. So many also who claim to be Christian may also turn out to be so. But let's remember that in all that, at the day of the final judgment, they will be exposed. We shall know who and who were not the new Christian. For now, we may not actually know so much of them. So we see that Judas's the first case about Judas is that he was not a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he proved, the Lord Jesus Christ himself portrayed that he was not a genuine believer in him. So those who claim that he was a believer, they are false. Christ himself portrayed to us that he wasn't a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look at the second cause of Judas's betrayal, his second cause. We see another cause, that was his determined willfulness. Determined from that hypocritical state, then his heart wouldn't be moved by anything that the Lord Jesus Christ says. You know, Judas did not all at once fall into apostasy or fall into a sin. He did not just wake up one day and just fall in. It worked through a series of things. And his first thing he did was that he disregarded all the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He disregarded everything which was the Lord said, which was a helping hand for him to refrain from his waywardness. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his teachings many times, said many things against the path he has chosen. The Lord Jesus Christ warned his disciples against worldliness and greed. How this ruined any hope of spiritual life. You know, it was the main thing that destroyed Judas was his greed for money and his love for the world. Because why would he sell him for money? It's interesting. His purpose was, we will see that as we go on, we will see that Judas actually went and asked the people that what would they give him if he should betray him. So we see that his determined was not to heed to the warnings of Christ because he was determined the greed has covered his mind. And worldliness, to, I don't know what he was thinking, if he saw Jesus, the money he will use it for. And indeed, he proved to be that he loved money. So the last end, that his sin was exposed. So this thing ruined his life. And it is always true with everyone. Well, love of the world, the comfort and things of the world will definitely ruin any spiritual life. So you see that all the warnings of Christ against worldliness and the greed was like fairy tales to Judas. It was like something which are not important to him because he was bent on securing his selfish and worldly gain. Judas didn't give any heed to whatever the Lord Jesus Christ said. So the Lord Jesus Christ did not look on that Judas should go on in his way. He warned and he truly helped him. So while Judas had intended to follow Jesus for gain of money, the Lord Jesus Christ had also warned all his disciples that he cannot serve God and mammon. If you put this, the love of money ahead of you, you cannot really serve God. You cannot really be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ said that the seed that was received among the thorns was they that will hear the word, and then the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Deceitfulness of riches, love and greed, love for money, love for worldly things, choked. The cares for this life choked the word, and it became unfruitful. So, whatever one the Lord Jesus Christ gave became unfruitful to Judas because he was deceived with what? Love of money, riches. To gain, and the ruin of many spiritual life. And besides all the general warnings, the Lord Jesus Christ warned Judas directly. In our mighty account, I think from verse 20 to 25, you see there's a direct warning to Judas here. Matthew 26, verse 20 to 25. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did it, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It has been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. The direct portion to him. Judas was also asked, is it me? Is it Thou hast said it? And he has said that it is better that person has not been born. That means judgment will be on that person. He told Judas in the face, and yet he didn't care. See how the heart is sometimes hard. He said, Lord, is it I? He said, yes, Thou hast said it. And yet Judas was not moved by this warning. All along, his mind was on his money. When will he betray the Lord and have something out of it? So we see that any deliberate and continuous willful rejection of scriptural warnings against disobedience is a sign of corrupt heart and a carnal mind. When anyone will hear from the word that this is lifestyle, or this way of life or this way of things are wrong by the standard of scripture, and yet people carelessly move on in that direction, it tells us there's a corruption in the mind, or there's the mind is not really right. Because as believers, the only thing that helps us, the word of God, when we are sinning, it jolts us. And when we are going astray, it directs us. So when we avoid the warning and we reject the warning, where can we go? Where we'll go astray. So we see that the warnings were unheeded because he had love for his money, or maybe for the luxury and comfort of this world. But the Lord has told us that these are incompatible with the faith in him. To love the world and the things of this world, our faith in him can never be genuine. So it's a great deception for anyone to pursue after this world and the things, the money and everything, makes it his God and aim in life, and still claim to love Christ. But is that not what the prosperity preachers and our charismatic friends are telling us? Go for everything and be the head and not the tail in business and in everything. It doesn't matter for whatever it is. Just make it, and Christ loves you, and just the kingdom of Christ is there for you. You are still a Christian and all that. Don't bother yourself. Claim everything in the world. It is ours. But the Bible tells us, no, we cannot pursue the world and still be lovers of Christ. Yes, we will do our work, we will have our incomes and everything, and we will continue to live. But then, to love for gain, greed, and for money, and to give ourselves to it, so that we don't give ourselves to the word of God, becomes a hindrance to us. And indeed, at the end of the day, if we are not converted, it eats up every hopes of spiritual life. And if we are converted, it makes us unfaithful and less useful to the Lord, because it weighs down like a weight on us. We cannot love Christ and also love the world. So we see that his love of greed, his love of money, was another cause, and his willfulness, as we see, his willfulness not to take warnings. He was willing to go on despite the warnings of Lord Jesus Christ himself, directly to him. So the third cause of Judas' betrayal was also a lack of a genuine love to Christ. He was willing to betray the Lord Jesus for anything. In Matthew 26, 14 to 16, we read this. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will ye give me if, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. What a sad thing. A disciple, an apostle, he went. It's not that they've been coerced, he went himself. But he knew that the chief priests and the elders were looking for Jesus, a way to also take him and kill him. So he went himself and asked, what would they give me if I betray him? So how can a true love go this way? It tells you he didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. his love was not genuine. Not only his faith, his love also. So when the faith is not genuine, then the love also will not be sincere. So he was exchanging the kindness of God for money. It was Christ who chose him to be an apostle. All the apostles were chosen by him. And yet he exchanged that kindness for money. And the life of Judas is like many, I call them Judas pastors and preachers of our days. What are they doing? Many pastors and preachers, what do? For gain of money, they will introduce anything into their church. They don't care if God is against it, if it's against reverence, worship or not. So long as it will increase their wealth and fame. That's not what churches, pastors, those people beginning to have churches nowadays, most of them, I think, especially charismatic, wealth and fame. They don't care about the gospel of Christ. They don't care what are the requirements for church and everything. They don't care. If only they can have money, they can have fame through having a church. How the gospel of Christ adulterated, they don't care. Yes, they will say, oh yes, we preach about Christ, but they don't care whatever they say about him. And also, if only people bring money, they will tune the worship to please men and not God. Yet worship is for God. So these are like Judas. They will use the ministry for anything, if only to make them famous and wealthy. You see, so Judas, a servant, a preacher. Remember that he was among the 12 that were given authority to go and preach and with power to even heal. And they came and saw every power was under them. Judas was part. He was a preacher and he was an apostle. And then his love was not genuine, so he was willing to give up Christ for anything. Luke also says that Judas was influenced by Satan. In Luke 22, 3 to 4, said that Satan entered him. And it's not that Judas was there and he was just enticed. Satan entered him, of course, because Judas' greed and hypocritical trust in the Lord gave the way. He had already desired to sell Christ. He has already desired to find opportunity to sell him. So Satan also plied on his greed. And then, as we are told in James, that everyone is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. So Judas was tempted because he prepared his mind for Satan. So that is how temptation comes to us. We fall into sin. We fall into foolishness sometimes because we give our mind to things that allow Satan to have way into our minds. Christian life is more of the mind. The fight is there. If you give way to Satan, you influence the mind to sin. And Judas did that. So Judas did that. So we see that all insincere love to Christ is bound to be exchanged for anything if it offers some worldly comfort, gain, or fame. And then Satan will ply on that. Satan knows our heart. He knows our faith. He knows our love for Christ, whether it's sincere or not. And he knows those who are not sincere. You see, he knows that. Then he knows how to cause such people to really cause the havoc to their faith, because he'll help them to really work against the things of Christ. So we must measure our love to Christ by this. Are we willing to exchange the things of Christ? Are we willing opportunity to do things for Christ or involve, obey his word in exchange for anything? If you love Christ, you wouldn't do that. If you love Christ, his things will be first in our mind, and whenever the temptation comes, we'll be able to say no to sin, as we are told in the title, that the grace of God that he has given us helps us to say no to sin. So if we measure our love to Christ by this, we shall know how sincere we are. Do we love him above everything else? Our faith in him genuine, so that we will not give up to anything which will not bring any glory to him, his name or not. So we see that Judas lacked the new love to Christ, lacked the new faith to him. He was also willful. He didn't take warnings. He was willful to go on with that, despite all the warnings to him. And he was also a hypocrite. And the Lord Jesus Christ proved that he was a hypocrite. He was not a genuine believer in him. Now let's look at his reaction after his sin. That also tells us of his heart. Not only what Christ said of him and how the Bible also portrayed him before. But even after he had sinned, his attitude, everything proved that Judas was never a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he went the way of unbelievers and he sank into that and he got the result of that. In Matthew chapter 26, we read that from verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus, and he said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Judas was not ashamed by the friendly reception the Lord gave him. He said, Friend, wherefore art thou come? That is, what is your purpose here, my companion? The word they use for like my comrade. Judas, you are with me. In the Psalms we read, Psalm 41 said that the one who eats with me has risen up against me. Judas was with them, he was in that company, he was friend and companion of this. And how has he turned against his own company he claimed to have loved? So the Lord just asked him, what is your purpose here? And even this question did not move Judas. At this time, Judas was still thinking of the money he was going to get after his purpose or his plans are successfully executed. Is it not interesting? Jesus even was standing before him, telling him, why are you here? And he was not bothered. He went on to kiss him, to betray him. At this point, he was still thinking of his money and nothing else. He did never cared what will happen to his master. He never cared. He said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. He sang his praise and yes, betrayed him. He was blinded by his love for money. He was blinded by his love for gain and nothing else. Christ did not even attack him. He did not use anything as if he was angry or wanting what he's doing. Say, friend, what are you coming to do here? You are with us, but why are you coming with such a company that's against us? But Judas didn't care. Judas has turned. That is when a love is insincere to Christ. When it turns against the things of Christ, it's dangerous. When people apostatize from the faith, they become more dangerous than even atheists because they become more aggressive against the truth and against everything they've ever stood for. So we see that even at that point of his betrayal, the Lord Jesus Christ even tried to help him, tried to show a kindly reception to him, but he didn't bothered about that. And another part also we read from Matthew 27, the actual action after he had betrayed him, from verse 1 to 5. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself. And we are told here that Judas, he repented of himself. Is it true repentance, you may say? After he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw that they have now condemned him to death, then we are told that he repented of himself. But interestingly, actually it's true that the Greek word that is used for repentance in his case here indicates a change. It's not like a repentance for a change for better, to be better. No, it's like they use that word for a repentance, meaning that a change of one's views or feelings, not a change that somebody wants to be better, whereby that true repentance comes from. So it's like when he saw that Jesus was condemned, his feelings, he felt bad for that thing, but not for his sin. Judas was only alarmed as a result of his sin, and not the sin itself. He was worried about the outcome it has caused his master to be condemned to death. Maybe he was not thinking that it will lead him to that way. Maybe he was thinking, there's a common interpretation that is that he was thinking that maybe Jesus will use his power to free himself, and after he has gotten his money, his master will be free. And he didn't think that Jesus Christ would submit himself to be taken. Well, we don't know what he was thinking. In whichever way, he undermined the effect of his sin. And after he has sinned also, he didn't consider the sin itself. He was just concentrating on the outcome. So that when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself. When he saw that Christ was condemned to death, meaning that he didn't, though he wanted to get money and then betray him, but he didn't think that Jesus would condemn, whatever. So he was careless to sin, but careful at the consequence. That is a serious matter. He was careless to sin, but then the result was his problem. The punishment, or the outcome was what he think of, not actually the sin itself. So he wished to have gained the money if only it did not result in his master's death. If only he would get the money and his master would be betrayed, but maybe he would not be condemned to death. So his repentance here was only a regret at the expense of the harm of his action. Just that. Not about his sin that he has committed against God, but the extent, I mean, how it has gone. It's like, you see, a drunkard who only regrets at the effect of his drinking and not his sinful habits. This is an example. I have that. They are worried that they have got maybe so and so disease through drinking, but they are not worried that their lifestyle was a life of sin, and that they have to seek forgiveness, they have to go to the Lord, and no. Their worry is that maybe their drinking has caused them to have some disease which they have to struggle with. He will love to drink if only he will be spared of the harm. So like such a drunkard, he wishes to continue drinking. He enjoys it. If only it will not bring him the diseases he has that have affected him. So that's the case of Judas here. He will love to even betray again, if only it will not lead to the death of the person or cause that great harm. At least he wants to sin. So that is what Judas, his repentance, it was not repentance that he has sinned that he wants God to forgive him. He wants to sin, but the result shouldn't be that. And how can you think that way? That I want to sin, but then the result shouldn't be that, and then I'll be free. No, it's not like that. So the last, from verse 3 of chapter 27 to verse 4, last part, he said that, and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sent him that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Why did he bring the money back? Because we are told that he repented. He brought the money back. Why did he bring the money back to the people? Well, it was to be, for him to relieve the shock that has seized his mind. I mean, he was shocked at the incident, at the results of his sin. So he was shocked. So he returned the money. But it was not a shock that made him to genuinely acknowledge his sin. He was shocked at the result, but no. He just wanted to take the money to them so that his conscience would be free, forgetting that he has sinned. So we see that here is not the desire of someone who truly desires to be forgiven. Because true repentance leads the sinner to seek forgiveness from the Lord. True repentance does not lead the sinner to just want relief of the outcome of his sin, but rather wants really God to really totally clear him of his sin and forgive him and make him to receive forgiveness from him. So Judas' repentance led him to his accomplices just to clear his name before them. At least for them to know that he was sorry and that he had returned them, and that's all. He sinned, it was Christ he has sinned against. He has not sinned against the accomplices. It was Christ he has sinned against. He has sinned against the Lord. But then, if they have taken the money, well, I've taken the money back. I'm okay. I've undone what I've done. So that was what he was thinking. He wanted to clear his name before men, but not before God. That is what sometimes fake repentance. We are concerned at the results of our sin, but then we are not concerned about the actual sin which is against God. So he desires to relieve from his emotional distress rather than to be forgiven of his sin. People want to sin, but they don't want to have the harm. And this is the case of Judas. His repentance is just to relieve him of the shock of the outcome, but not really to stop his act of sin. So we see that actually the Bible tells us sincere repentance leads the sinner to God, against whom every sin is committed. Every sin is against God, and if we seek to repent and return to God and not other things. As you know, the Bible tells us when a sinner feels destitute and shameful for his sin and comes to the Lord, God must punish every sin. And then when a person sees his sin and cries to the Lord, the Spirit points the sinner who is crying for his sin to the Savior's cross. And there the sinner will find relief by trusting what Christ has done. That is how biblical repentance is about. You turn to God whom you have sinned against. You ask for relief, for forgiveness. The Spirit of God turns us. When we are in that state, he points us to the cross. Because only the cross of Christ that can grant us forgiveness, the merit of his cross. And then we rest our hopes in him. And by faith in him, he relieves us and forgives us of our sins. But though Judas realized that Christ is condemned for his sin, Judas knew that it was sin, his sin that has been brought to him personally because he betrayed him. Though Christ was dying for the sin of many, but Judas particularly thought he was when he was condemned for what he has done. Judas realized it, and yet he looked away from him and perished by his own hand. Judas saw Christ suffering for his sin. Instead of him to go to him and ask for pardon, he turned away from Christ. He didn't go to Christ. He rather went to those that he had sent with to clear his name, and he went on to do his own thing. So we see that his repentance was not genuine. The Lord was standing before him. He saw that he has been condemned for his sin, but he turned away from him to other sources for relief. So we see that in the verse 4, last part of verse chapter 20, verse 4 to verse 5, we are told that when they said, "What is it?" When he took the money to them, and they said, "What is that? What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the piece of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. So, if it was the new repentance, he would have been taken from worse to better. But now he was taken from bad to worse, from betrayal with guilt, now to commit suicide. His repentance was not genuine. His repentance was not out of guilt for sin, but the desire to continue in sin without guilt. If only I can sin without having this pain in my mind, I'll continue my sin. And no true repentance sinner will think that. Everything about sin is hateful to him. The results, everything about his own life and everything is what he's so sorry for what he has done. Not because a portion of the results of it. So his repentance was not genuine. He was willing to add sin to sin if only he will find relief. He thought, well, if I kill myself, as they say, Nasa, I'm okay, I'm dead. Who are Nasa? I mean, when you are dead, everything is gone. That's why he wants to end his life so that he will be okay. And that is not the way of a sinner who seeks relief to be forgiven from the Lord. So he added sin to sin, and he thought that suicide will end his troubles. And I mean, his practice, I think there's I read something some time ago in Australia, they have a suicide, I'm forgetting the name. When people, they are sick to a point, they are suffering, and they think that life is unbearable. They go there and they are injected with some drugs and slowly they die. People pay and they have it, they have forgotten. They will die that way to end pain. What a tragic idea. To end life that way, as if when you die, it is all. And that was the fate of Judas. He thought, when I hang myself, it's all. But is it true? No. So you see, his repentance was not genuine. So he went from bad to worse. It's a tragic to think of what he did. It's a tragic thing to think that, oh, I have so much trouble, so I turn away from the Lord, and then find my own solution. That's what he did. It's something that is a warning to all of us. So we see that on the whole, Judas' betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ is a caution to everyone here who claims to be a Christian. Because we see how it descended. His faith is genuine, his love is sincere, willfulness against warnings, his love for money, and finally, when he has sinned, what did he do? He wanted to find his own solution. Instead of coming to the Lord, he turned to other sources for relief. And it rather ended his suicidal death. So we had the question to ask, that do we have sincere faith in Christ? Do we love him above everything? And it's always true when we are willing to obey his commands and are willing to forgo gains, everything, honest pleasures for his own sake. That is how it is. Judas's case is like, let someone say, it's a case study for us to really put it on our own faith and see, do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we genuine and sincere Christians as we claim to be? But if our faith and love to Christ are genuine, then we are sure to persevere to the end. But that's what the Bible tells us. If we are genuine, we will persevere to the end. In 1 Peter 1:5, we are told that all believers who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Those who are genuine in Christ are kept by the power of God. But those who are sincere, the power of God unto salvation, the gospel, will give us this power. When we are saved, God continues to keep us. He doesn't just save us and leave us to go our own way and be lost. No. If only it's genuine. But the fact is it genuine? That's what we have to ask ourselves. If it's genuine, then truly God will keep us. Next time when we look at the life of the denial of Peter, we see he also sinned. His sin is almost like that of Judas. Though Judas' own shows he's telling him and Peter's telling the people that he doesn't have any knowledge of, or he doesn't relate to him and all that. But it's all amount to denying, sin against Christ. But we see that how Peter was helped to recover from his sin. You see that Peter, when he saw the face of Christ, he wept. But Judas could see Christ condemned. And he wanted to go and make things right with the accomplices and not to look on Christ for forgiveness. So you see the difference. The heart of the believer, when he sins, he is pained. He turns to the Lord and cries for relief from the Lord. But the heart of the hypocrite, he cannot. Because he will always try to find something to relieve him or herself. So let us learn this from the life of Judas. Indeed, he was never a genuine believer. Both his life, his actions before his betrayer, and also his actions after his betrayer portrayed that he was never a genuine believer, and that he perished in his own sin by his own deception. And that is the way of all hypocrites. You know, God is always merciful to us to show us examples so we can compare ourselves as we claim to be Christians. So may the Lord help us as we think through the life or the betrayal of Judas at the final stage of Christ's life. In glory.